This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest. He's been a longtime member of our Rage Rowdy family. Somebody that, if you like damn country music, if you like cold beer country, this is your guy right here. He's got a brand new project called Downtown that is out now. We got my man Tyler Booth. How you doing, Bubba?
Doing good. Thank you for having me. This is only my second podcast ever. So
really?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
I'm honored to be one of the early podcasts, man. I feel like you would have done quite a few by now. You've been doing this a long time.
I think my first couple was during COVID over Zoom, but that's not really a podcast.
No,
you gotta sit down and
a different in-person thing. Now, do you remember, we were talking right before we were getting started here, do you remember the first time we met?
I want to say Columbus, Ohio.
It was Columbus, Ohio. I was working for the Muscadine Bloodline guys.
That's right.
And you were opening the show, and we met downstairs in that green room. And I remember I was selling their t-shirts, hats, and koozies back in those days. Love you, Gary and Chuck.
Yeah. Man, they're good. They're tearing it up still.
They are. And I remember meeting you and meeting your old man and meeting the crew. And then sitting, I was back in like the merch area, and I was like, damn, this kid can sing.
Oh, thank you.
That was 6 years ago.
Yeah, that's been a while. But I love that venue, the Bluestone. I probably played there six or seven times now. And
yeah,
I remember those guys playing and just how nice they were and how good they sounded. I mean, they're just awesome. And the songwriting's just crazy. Especially like that last batch of stuff they put, it's just so good.
Dude, yeah, they're telling small town stories from the perspective of someone in Lower Alabama and Mississippi.
Yeah,
and it's like in Texas they call it red dirt country, they call it red clay country.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of that muscle shows, that bluesy kind of stuff.
It does, man. It's cool, man. But let's talk about you, man. How excited are we to get Downtown out and talk a little bit about that project?
Man, I'm really excited. I think this EP will be like the most current music I've ever put out, because up until now, I'd go in and demo a song and live with it for two or three years and then kind of pick some of the best ones we had and then just master them all. And a lot of them, would be wrote and recorded at different times and different stages and things. But the thing about this EP and the rest of my music that I have coming out after is that the turnaround from writing it and recording it is just, it was like that. And some of these songs I only wrote like maybe 6 or 7 months ago.
Wow.
So they're all like brand spanking new. And that's fun for me too, because you get on stage and I've had songs that came out 7 or 8, 9 years ago that people still want to hear. And I mean, they get kind of tired of playing them, but not really. But it's just fun to play these songs. It's fun to learn them and everything. And I'm really excited to see what people think about it, because it's a little bit of a different writing style. Most of these songs I wrote by myself. And I think there was just a couple I co-wrote with people. But I feel like it's a little bit more true to me, or a little bit more evolved. I love all the music I put out, but I feel like this stuff right here, it's like from farm to table kind of thing.
Yeah, there you go. That's on brand. That's as on brand as it gets. Tyler Booth from farm to table to your ears. But backing up, you've been singing and playing for a long time. I mean, you had the wheels turning 6-7 years ago when you and I first met, and to start at such a young age, and now you're how old now? You're what?
28. I'm getting a little older.
Yeah, you started music a full adult life ago, pretty much. Like, you started singing and writing songs at 10 years old.
Yeah, I started really young. I remember my dad had a rock band, and I was probably 9 or 10 at the time. And I just thought they were the coolest dudes ever. They'd get up and, it was plain old rock and roll music. And I can remember sitting in rehearsal rooms, and I'd see how they made a paracord, because it was mostly just paracord stuff, like rock and roll. And so that's the first chords I learned, and then I kind of ran with that and played guitar for a while, and I kind of had my mind made up, like, I need to know how to play the guitar really good if I want to do music, because at the time I didn't think I could sing at all or anything. And But I took those first few chords, and I think I started writing around 12, 13 years old. Nothing good, you know, just something that's kind of, you know, funny stuff. Like, it sounded a lot different than what I'm doing now. And I think I always tell everybody the first song I ever wrote that was any good was Palomino, because, you know, I was always kind of shy to share it with people or whatever. But whenever I let a few people hear that one, they were like, man, that's actually pretty good. And that's kind of what got me started on this venture.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, you talk about Palomino Princess, and you're on record as saying that it was a game changer for you.
What was
it about that song that you think has propelled you to where you're at now, or been something that the crowds always want to hear you play?
I think at the time that I wrote it, I was starting to figure out what I could sing, my capabilities, what I like to sing, and what styles I like to, you know, things I like to steal from different artists that I love or whatever. And that was the first one I sat down by myself and I wrote. And I think as a songwriter, it gave me a little confidence. It got my foot in the door too, with, like, you know, a lot of publishing, you know, Warner Chappell getting a songwriting deal over. And I think it helped me kind of get started. Yeah.
That's cool, dude. So you talk about, like, being that kid, watching your dad play in a band.
Yeah.
When did you know that music was what you were going to do?
It's something I always did as a hobby, like in high school or whatever. And you know, I just thought there's no way I could make a living doing it. And even now it kind of feels like, how does this work? I'm getting paid to do this stuff, and it's just so much fun to me. And I know so many people back home, they work so they can pay the bills and stuff. And I get to play music. So it's amazing. And, yeah, I didn't really know that I could do it. But, one thing that kind of put me in the right direction is, whenever I graduated high school, my dad was like, dude, you need to go to college or go to work or do something. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And Morehead State University was an hour from my house, and they had traditional music studies, which was like bluegrass, folk music, old time, Americana, all that good stuff. And I kind of learned some bluegrass chops from there, and flat picking and all that good stuff. I got a good dose of that for about a year and a half, and ended up not doing so well in my other classes, and my instructor at the time, he was like, I can send some of these songs you wrote to a friend of mine in Nashville. And he's like, worst case scenario, he'll give you some criticism, you know, maybe some advice for your songwriting and stuff. And I was like, well, sure, that'd be cool. And he sent it to a guy named Phil O'Donnell, which went on to be one of my big mentors in my career, and just really helped me out getting started in town and stuff. And Phil's produced for, let's see, Joe Diffie.
Oh, yeah, he's
Blake
a legend.
Shelton,
he's a legend, yeah.
And written for all those guys. And, yeah, he's great. And that's kind of what got my foot in the door. And then Phil's like, well, let's go meet up with some of our friends. Let's, you know, go to Sony, and let's go to, you know, Warner Chappell. And that's really kind of what got me started. And so a lot of that I credit to Phil. He's just such a good dude. Yeah.
Yeah, what's it like being, because now you're matured, you're a spry 28 years old, 28 years young. Being that young buck in the room with not just anybody, but Phil freaking O'Donnell,
yeah,
and around these legends, and getting walked around, and being in that position at such a young age, because that's 21, 22 years old, you're getting walked around and getting introduced, and it's starting to happen.
It was great. I mean, I couldn't tell you how nervous I was the first time I wrote with, like, Phil. I think our first write in Nashville was Phil O'Donnell, Jim Moose Brown, who's produced Jamie and played bass on a lot of things, and keyboard, and Shane Minor, just a great guy, a great songwriter. And who else was in the room that day? It might have been it. Might have just been, no. I think that might have been it. I don't know. It's been a while back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we're looking back.
I've been in a lot of songwriting sessions since it. But, like, I was just so nervous being in a room with guys like that. And, yeah, eventually it kind of goes away. And you kind of know what you can do. And you kind of know, like, who can bring what to the table at a songwriting session. So, yeah. Like, if I have ideas, sometimes I'll sit on it for a year, 2 years, and, like, I'll wait till I get in the room with somebody that I'm like, okay, I know this guy's going to get what I'm trying to get across. And
yeah,
that's a lot of times that's how that'll go about. So it's real cool.
Yeah. What was it like growing up in Eastern Kentucky? Kentucky's such a musical state, man.
Yeah, it was. I always tell people, like, whenever I was younger, Sturgill Simpson was just popping off in Stapleton. And I tell people I'm right between Sturgill Simpson, which I guess he came out of Versailles, and then Chris Stapleton, he's out of, like, Paintsville. So I'm, like, right in the middle geographically, like 45 minutes each way. And Keith Whitley was he grew up an hour away from me. They got his little monument at Sandy Hook. And I'm from Campton, which is Wolf County, which is a town of 420 people.
Wow.
I think I graduated like 12 kids.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. But, like, all there was to do was basketball or music. And a lot of people loved music. A lot of my friends, like, love bluegrass, love old country, Waylon, stuff like that. Yeah, it was just kind
of... Yeah, what's that transition of a town of 400, a graduating class of 12 people, to Nashville, Tennessee?
It was crazy.
Got to be a big jump.
The music business moved so fast, and this town moved so fast. Like, even last night I was feeling it. We went and played Whiskey Jam, which is just awesome. I love their new location, yeah. Whiskey Row. It's so cool at Dirk's Bar there. And, man, we pulled the truck up. We loaded all the stuff, get it upstairs, play, load the stuff back down, throw it back of the truck, you know, and you got to park it 3 blocks away, and then you got all these cars coming at you and all these people walking. It's like, I stopped for a minute last night. I was like, I'm from Campton, a town of 400 people, and this is just so awesome. I get to be here in this environment and doing this. And at first, you know, whenever I first, you know, got my first apartment in Nashville and started writing every day, it felt almost like a dream or something. You know, it's just real fast paced, but I got used to it after a minute. And I think being out on the road and stuff, touring since I was about 15. I think after a while you kind of get used to that fast pacedness, you know?
Yeah.
But you got to shut it off sometimes. Like, what I'm guilty of is, like, I'll, you know, last night I played and thought about the songs, thought about all the friends I seen there. And, like, I was like, well, did I talk to so-and-so that was there? And then I'm like, shoot, I hope I said hi to it, you know? And then you're, like, thinking when you're laying in bed, you're like, did that song sound good? Did I mess up the lyric? Did this happen? And it's like, sometimes you just got to shut it off. And, like,
yeah.
Yeah, but it's fun. I like Nashville a little bit.
Yeah, so does Nashville kind of factor into the name of this next project, of this new project, Downtown? Or how does a small town boy talk about Downtown?
Yeah, it actually did. So I produced Downtown, this EP, with a guy named John Johnson and a guy named Steve Blackman. And John came to me with the idea of, like, we should make one project called Downtown, which is more like bluesy kind of stuff you'd hear if you was on Broadway. He was like, we'll call that the Downtown EP. And he didn't mean, like, literally call it that. He was just like, that's kind of the idea. And then we had an idea of calling this other EP Uptown, which is more like maybe jazzier kind of Sinatra with, you know, George Strait,
yeah,
waltzy kind of pretty chords. And but anyway, I was like, well, Downtown's kind of a cool title. And the more I got to thinking about it, I was like, everybody's got their own downtown. Like, it could be Nashville, or it could be in Campton, which is where I took the picture for the record. It's awesome. Actually a picture of Campton. So, like, and it's kind of funny. It's just one stoplight or whatever, but
still downtown.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, the thought for that EP was, like, it's a little bit more rootsy for me, and, like, a little bit back to what I grew up on with the bluegrass stuff and the older style of music. And I just thought it was a cool idea. Like, everybody could have their own downtown. And
yeah,
it's just kind of a, almost like a throwback to what I grew up on, in a way.
Yeah, and then the title track on there, Talking White Trash. Tell me about that one. Nikki T and I were bumping that last night.
Really?
Driving up through Kentucky. I was like, I got the pod with him coming up tomorrow. We're driving through Kentucky. Let's crank up some Tyler Booth.
Man, that song was was great. I had that title for a while, and Terry Lee Palmer, he plays guitar.
God bless him, dude. We love Terry Lee.
He's a great dude.
We still, one of the original Ray's Rowdy shirts was a shirt that said the Terry Lee Palmer fan club.
Oh, wow.
That was the the OG. Nicky T is, Terry Lee's, we call him a purebred hoss cat. You know?
He's great.
He's just the guy.
Yeah, he's so much fun. It's hard to keep up with him. Like,
yes.
When you're out on the road with him. He's just a great dude and a lot of fun. And I was out with John. It's probably like 2018, something like that. And I got to know Terry really well. And we talked about writing because we like the same kind of music. You know, we like kind of more of that outlaw on the fringe stuff. And so we talked about writing for like 2 years. And we finally get together. And I'm like, I got this idea that you could probably just burn up a guitar solo, you know, just something real bluesy and rock and roll. It's like talking white trash. And then I was like, well, you could actually be talking about like white trash stuff, but you're like the dialect's also white trash, and like it can almost be kind of funny. Like we went through this whole thing and we wrote it in like I think an hour.
Wow.
And I ended up cutting it, and it came out, and we wrote another song probably 2 months after that, and I didn't cut it, but he cut that. So I think he's got something coming out.
Awesome.
But anyway, we're two for two right now. I got one that we wrote, and he got the other one.
So that's awesome.
We got to keep writing together.
Hell yeah. What's it been like meeting folks on the road? You talk about touring with guys like John Party, touring with Brooks and Dunn, getting to go out there and meet other guys and girls that are on the way up like you are, but also some legends, guys that you grew up listening to.
It's incredible. I still, like, get starstruck sometimes, like, even my friends, like, people up. I text, you know, once or twice a month. It's just crazy. Like, guys like Jamie Johnson, he was so influential to me growing up because, like, you know, I was into the rock and roll thing and whatever, and I heard him sing. I was like, dang, that guy sounds like somebody that lives around here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can relate to this guy. And that kind of got me started. And then I was like, well, who'd he listen to? And it was Waylon and, you know, guys like that. Haggard and I kind of took off down that path, and but man, he's a great dude. I was at his wedding not too long ago.
Oh, how was that? The Jamie Johnson wedding.
It was awesome. So it was pretty wild. Like right before the ceremony started, they rode Randy Travis to the side, like second aisle back, and I was like, holy crap, that's Randy Travis.
Yeah.
And I looked at my fiance, and she's like, oh my gosh, that is Randy Travis.
Yeah.
And like, there was just a bunch of cool people there. And I was hanging out with the guys from Lit, Jeremy Popoff, AJ.
Yeah.
Those guys are a lot of fun, but they talked me into getting some shots. And so we did that and had a good old time. And I'm trying to think. Talked to Kid Rock.
Bob.
Yeah, I've known Bob for 5 or 6 years. He's a great guy. Every now and then I'll try to get a hold of him and get some good advice from him.
Yeah.
Some of it's good, some of it's, you know, I probably couldn't get away with some of the stuff he says to do, but it's awesome. It is crazy that I get to know people like that. And
what was one of your first pinch me moments?
Oh man. One of them was the Opry, for sure. And sharing the stage with Jamie was awesome. Writing at Bob's house in a studio.
Yeah, over at the White House. Yeah,
yeah, that was pretty awesome. There's been a few of them. And it's cool, like, to watch friends I've kind of came up with in a way. Like, we all kind of have our different paths, but we kind of come up together in a weird way. Like,
yeah.
I remember back in 2015, 16 maybe, Jelly Roll was playing with Struggle. I think they did like a set together, and they were headlining that night. And I got to meet Jelly. He's just such a good dude.
Yeah.
He's just amazing. And and then to think like now what he's doing, it's just crazy. And Lainey's another one. Every now and then I'd run into Lainey, and she's just blowed, you know, she's awesome. She deserves it. She's so good.
Yeah, dude. And you talk about someone like Lainey Wilson. She shares that traditional sonic sentiment like you have, man. And it's like, in her like her song and her tour, like Country's Cool Again. Yeah. And what's it like now to be in this as long as you've been, and now to see there's more of an appreciation on the grand scheme of things for that traditional sounding cold beer country?
It's awesome, because like there for a while it just seemed like there was only one way to make music, like one sound that you could do, and only one way to get out there, which was radio. And radio's still really important and valuable and awesome, but I think with social media and stuff, it really gave an outlet to different styles of music.
Yeah.
And I feel like now, you know, it seems like there's a space for everything right now, which is really cool. Like, you'll have your hip-hop infused kind of R&B kind of country, and then you'll have, like, you know, you'll have, like, rap lyrics over country music that's doing good, and you'll have some guy that sounds like he just, you know, fell out of the 90s that's doing good. It just seemed like right now it's like a good time. And even like heavy metal, like all the different flavors.
Yeah, dude.
Are stirring into this one big pot right
now.
Yeah,
you talk about like the rock and roll upbringing and your dad and all of that. And you talk about like different bands and stuff, but what do you currently listen to? Because I feel like for me, I mix it up. Like, I'll be honest, on my way home, I listen to some Tyler Booth, I listen to some Glorilla, I listen to some Sabrina Carpenter, and then I throw in Metallica. Like, it kind of, when you're working within a genre like we are, you kind of got to listen to some stuff that's outside of the genre too. Like, what do you currently listen to? Oh, we're gonna pull up the Spotify.
You got me
right
curious.
Now.
You got me really curious, because honestly, I suck at remembering stuff.
But just here, what's been coming on lately?
Here's what I got. I got some Post Malone.
There you go.
Old Post Malone.
The old stuff.
You know, 2000s hard rock.
Butt rock.
Yeah,
that's what we call that.
Dad rock. Oh,
like which bands?
What do I like out of that era? I listen to like System of a Down.
Love them. Oh, okay.
I think they're awesome.
Did you see the videos from their concerts recently?
Uh-uh.
They're back to touring, and they played in front of like, I think it was like 90,000 people in Brazil or
really?
Something ridiculous. And there's just flares flying off. It's like they're
wild.
Back. They're back. Yeah.
Yeah. They've always been wild on stage. I love it. But like, yeah, so like a little bit of System of a Down. Seven Dust is another.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then I got Daly and Vincent, Jamie Daly.
Yeah.
And, you know, then Tony Rice. I got some straight up bluegrass, Dan Tominski on here.
Mixing it all up. I love it.
Then I got some Colt Ford. That's my buddy. I love his music. Then, you know, we got some Johnny Cash, and then Jamie Johnson. Then I got ZZ Top, and then I got Big X the Plug.
Let's go.
That's the last one.
I love Big X the Plug,
great.
Man. That Texas song.
Yeah.
The biggest, the largest.
Yeah. I mean, he's got some good ones. And I believe he's like he really is country. Like, if you listen to some of the stuff he's talking about.
He's from South Texas.
Yeah. It's good. I love it.
Yeah, I do too, man. And you talk about how there's all these different flavors. The audience of country music has grown so much. You've been blessed to go overseas and play. Talk about playing shows in Europe, and what's it like bringing country music internationally to folks who would have never had it before.
It's really cool, and it's surprising, like, the regions that kind of gravitate more to a certain style. Like, you know, I didn't really think about it until I went to Ireland, but they love some mandolin and stuff and fiddle, because that's kind of where that started, you know.
Like similar to what you have in Kentucky with the bluegrass stuff.
Yeah, it's almost like that all that Irish Celtic kind of fiddle tunes. Like, really, that's what bluegrass started with, was like fiddle tunes. And
yeah.
Turned into Tony Rice and Jimmy Martin, all these guys flat picking the songs and stuff. So like, it was cool to go back there, and I would throw in, you know, like Copperhead Road. I'd play my mandolin on it, stuff like that. They'd love it.
Oh, they probably ate that
up. And then like, you'd go to Switzerland, and they just love straight up, almost mid-tempo, early 90s, kind of that old school sound. They're real crazy about that. They love it. And like, just soulful, kind of good music. And it's really cool. It was great traveling that much. I'll be honest, it wears you out because, like, you get on a plane and it's 12 hours there or 10 hours or whatever, and then you get on a train and that's 2 hours, and you got all this gear, and then you're getting in an Uber or whatever, and you can't drive around because it's on the left side. I would wreck. And, but I loved it. I probably would too,
honestly.
And I got to hang out with some great people over there. I got to meet Sam Williams. Who I think that dude's just awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's, great. I mean, he's got it in the bloodline, man. Yeah. Yeah. Literally. Yeah.
And I got to meet Sam over there. We became friends. And Chapel Heart, those girls are awesome. Yeah. They're so good. Yeah, had a great time over. I've been over there maybe two or three times.
Wow.
London twice, Switzerland once or twice, Ireland twice. I love it. It's great.
That's awesome, dude. How's it been? How have shows and stuff been this year? Feel free.
I'm going to try.
Take a pause for a little Surfside. Get a little, we say, no bubbles, no troubles. It tastes like sunshine in a can.
It's good. It's not carbonated. It's like a sweet tea.
Yeah, it's just good. Iced tea with low artificial flavors, 4.5%. Nikki T says they are crushable. They're really? Something that when we're up in out at the festivals,
Nikki T's iced tea.
Nikki T likes to set it. He says he likes to set it off like a little boozy. You know?
That's good.
Yeah,
it tastes good.
Yeah, dude. So how has this year been so far? I mean, we have downtown. Out now, it's all working and going. But as far as like shows and just the process, and just how's life been in 2025, man? We're about at the halfway point right now.
It's been good. This year, I really got to stop and slow down, and I moved back to East Kentucky in Pikeville, which is kind of a home to me whenever I was growing up.
Yeah,
Campton and then Pikeville. I would go back and forth to my grandparents and stuff, and. So I've been spending time there, and it's been good to get rooted again and being able to experience all the stuff I'd been around, you know, growing up. And it seems to reignite a lot of stuff in me, like creativity and things and, like, just stuff people say to you.
Yeah.
Like, even my dialect I can tell is coming back a little bit from just being home.
Yeah.
And, like, it's been awesome. I've wrote some good songs since I've been back there, and only thing I don't like is the drive. It's 5 hours to Nashville from there.
Yeah, that's a bit of a
haul. And I've been making the drive from, like, you know, I'll leave Kentucky at 5 a.m, drive to Nashville, have a 10 o'clock thing, and then drive back that night, get home at midnight. Yeah. So, like, that gets kind of exhausting. I'm going to get a place down here pretty soon, though. Yeah. I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But it's been good. I've done that and just kind of figuring out what I want to do, how I want to put all this music out, because I probably got over 100 songs that are done, and it's just like, how do we present it, you know?
Yeah.
And
how does the social media strategy factor in? Because, like, you were talking about now with social media, folks can have their ears and eyes on all kinds of different things. How's that been as far as, like, teasing songs? And now you don't just have to write the songs. You don't just have to play them. You don't just have to record them, learn them, all that. You got to post about them.
I like it because, like, now I can tease a song, just me and a guitar. And if people like it enough, I'll just go in the studio and, you know, cut it, put it out. So, like, that's pretty cool. You can kind of get some insight on, you know, what people want to hear. What do they want to know? What do they like to see? Things like that. And it's a good way to connect with people and stuff. Here recently, there was a kid, he got in a little dirt bike accident. And that was back home in Kentucky. And he got on Facebook and he was like, I've been listening to Tyler Booth. I wish he'd make a video or something. It was like that. And I was like, I'm not going to make a video. I'm going to run up and see him. So I get in the truck and I drive to Lexington at the hospital to see his kid. And it was awesome. And, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to go in there with a phone and record it and put it up there or whatever, but his family did.
Yeah.
And, it just went viral. And, I think, you know, it was just awesome getting to hang out with that kid. And that's a part of social media too. It really connects you with the fans. And, I think there for a while, people were kind of getting tired of it, like during COVID, you know, 'cause that's all we had. And, but now I feel like there's kind of another resurgence of it for me anyway. I like getting on there now.
Yeah, man, it's where your fans can connect can connect with you, or you can connect with them, you know. But the biggest way I think that you've gone out there and gotten your fans is one, through the music, but two, through all the shows that you've done over the years. You've been everywhere, boy.
I have. And man, that was fun. It really was. I think the thing about it, it gives you a lot of experience. And I feel like every night I learn something. Every night on stage, like if a song doesn't do well or go over as good as I think it does, it's like, well, why didn't that work? And then it's like, oh, well, everybody's there to party. So what are we going to do next time? If the crowd's like that, we're going to put a rocking song in there. And, you know, say it's a songwriter's round and I'm doing all upbeat stuff. And people, after a while, I mean, if you have the energy up here so much, it's like, okay, what's the next thing? It's like just that right there. So, like, you learn to dial it back and maybe tell a story, you know. Yeah. So, like, there's been a lot of great things I've learned being out on the road. Yeah. And man, shoot, I started touring, I think, well, playing shows when I was 15.
Yeah, do you remember your first time opening up for somebody or some of those early day shows?
Yeah. I can remember when I was 19 or 20, I got an invitation to play at Manchester Music Hall, which is in Lexington.
It's great venue.
Kind of the big venue in Lexington.
Great venue, yeah.
I mean, the only venue besides the Rupp Arena.
Yeah.
But I opened for Frankie Ballard, which he's such a good dude. And that was a great night. And that was my first big show. We recorded it and everything. I was tore up, nervous. And then the other one I can remember, and this might have been before, was I played in Ashland, Kentucky at a festival, and Mark Wills was headlining. And Mark's awesome. He signed my guitar. He was like one of the first people to sign my guitar to Lynn. That's what I named her. But
oh, we got a guitar that we got autographed?
Yeah. It's how in many, the truck. I forgot to bring it in here.
How many signatures do we got on there?
I've about lost count. I know.
Can you still see the wood on it, or is it all Sharpies at this point?
It's Sharpies and a lot of chipped wood where I've just banging the heck out of it every night. Yeah. But I think Jake Owen was the first one to sign it when I was out with Jake. And then I think it was Mark. The first time I played the Opry, Mark was playing, and he signed it. And I went out with Darius overseas. We were just talking about going overseas. I was over there with Darius Rucker. He's amazing. He's such a good dude. But he signed it. And Jeremy Popoff from Lit. Nice. Those guys are awesome. I love Jeremy. He's actually been a big key to me being in town and knowing a lot of stuff and getting advice from. But he signed it. And then Jamie Johnson, he signed it upside down for some reason.
Classic.
And I'm sure I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah. About 2 weeks ago, I was hanging out with Brantley Gilbert and Colt at Pikeville. They played in Pikeville, and I got to go out and hang out with them, and I had them sign it. So nice. They were the last two to sign it, yeah.
That's cool, man. What are some of the big things that you learned early on? Because, again, you started doing this thing so young, and I could even tell a difference. We've hung out in town a little bit, but from when I first met you in Columbus to now, it's like you're all grown up. It's wild to see.
I try to be as grown up as I can.
No, but I feel like that this music thing does that for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do feel like musically I've got to grow a lot in town. And I don't think you can do that anywhere else. It has to be Nashville. That's like the only, I mean, you come here and you write songs and you get to meet the people you look up to and hang out with them and different things like that. You ain't got no choice but to grow somehow, you know? Yeah. And then I think a lot of it's just road experience, like talking to people. And then in hindsight, like, you know, there's been times where I've just been so tired on the road, you know, not sleeping for 2 or 3 days or whatever, and 15-hour drives. And, you know, at the time you're kind of like, yeah, I just can't wait to kind of get through this. But then when you get home, you're like, dang, I wish I would have, you know, maybe a year later, you're like, that was a good time. I should have enjoyed it a little bit more. That's what I find myself doing now, is like really trying to take it all in and enjoy it.
It's the best way to do it, man. And what do you hope people get from this project, man? Because it sounds like we're entering into this new era, but it also feels as much like a revival of you going back to Kentucky. And like you said, there's some traditional elements, and it's different than anything else that you've kind of put out before.
I hope that, you know, there's parts of this EP that kind of reflect back to country music maybe 20, 30 years ago. So, like, I hope there's a little bit of nostalgia when people hear it. Some people say it sounds like a little bit like Travis Tritt, like some of his early stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of that, you know, rootsy country. And I hope people, like, connect with it in that way. I hope they hear, like, the influence in it. But also, I feel like it is a new sound, too. So, like, I hope they also, like, hear something new, you know. Maybe, you know, hopefully I've created a sound. Well, I know I've created a sound that's my own, but I hope people like it, I guess is what I said.
Have you always had that? Because I have a pretty deep voice, too, but yours is, like, deep. Like, when did you start? You talk about writing songs early on. When did the deep voice Tyler Booth start coming? Cause I can't even imagine you with a high-pitched voice.
Well, it's interesting. I can remember being in high school, and like I said, I loved rock and roll in the beginning, and if I could have done it, like, I would have sang AC/DC or Black Sabbath or whatever, but I just didn't really, even then at 14, I didn't have the voice for it. I think my voice dropped when I was 13 or 14.
Wow.
And I am where I am now, but not as low as I am now. But I was covering Jamie Johnson when I was 15. It didn't sound as cool as him, but it took a little while to, you know, grow into it a little bit. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. It seemed like, but the only thing that kind of stinks about it is, like, I was talking to my drummer the other day, and he does, like, helps with the tracks, like the clicks and, you know, maybe there's a little rhythm guitar part in the back. We try not to use a whole lot of stems,
but we have a few. Have the back end in there. Yeah.
But I told him, I was like, man, because everybody's kind of told me, they're like, dude, your voice keeps getting deeper. And I'm like, I know. And I'm like, we might have a problem. Like, we might have to start pitching these songs down. That way I can sing some of the older stuff that I was doing when I was 19.
There's something 20. About that. And it's funny, like, you've known Nicky T for a long time. Like, you're somebody that has been aware of Raised Rowdy and, like, what we do and who we are and stuff. And the biggest thing that Nick and I always talk about is, like, an artist having a distinct voice. Like, the moment that you hear a song, you know it's that guy or it's that girl. You are the definition of that, brother.
Oh,
like,
thank
your voice, like, you know, immediately it's Tyler Booth country music. Like,
well, thanks, man.
I think of it like a superpower, bro.
Thank you. I used to be kind of, I mean, there were times when it was, I could kind of tell back then I had a little bit different voice, especially in college, because, like, a lot of people were singing, you know, stuff that was current or, like, more of the Americana thing, which is great. I love some of that stuff. But, like, I just kind of didn't really fit in anywhere, you know. I was just a bass singer in some little band, you know. But it took me a while to kind of get there, you know. I feel like I've done all right with it.
Yeah, no, I would say you definitely have. Now, what do you like doing when you're not doing the music thing? Like you said, you've had some time off. Now you go back to Kentucky and you're able to kind of reflect and get back to your roots, both in your music and just in life. So what do we enjoy doing? Say we have an open weekend. We're not on the road. What are we doing with ourselves?
Man, it's kind of not a getaway from music, but I love bluegrass. So, like, a lot of times I'll put on an old Tony Rice thing or something, or Doc Watson. I'll sit down and try to learn it note for note.
Oh, so you're just
I love flat
there.
Picking.
Yeah.
That
is a
and that's something
thing,
I want to do one day is make a bluegrass record.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like a little side hustle I got.
Yeah.
And I would say another hobby I have is, like, fishing. I really love fishing. And that's kind of cliche, but actually my fiance, she's the one that's got me into it again.
Really?
I took her one time and she's hooked. No pun intended, but
write that down. That might be a song.
We'll wake up Saturday morning, you know, I might, you know, be a little tired, 8, 9 o'clock. She's like, Tyler, get up. And I'm like, I'm gonna sleep in a couple hours. And she's like, let's go fishing. And I'm like, well, all right. That's like the only way to get me out of bed. But yeah, I love bass fishing, cat fishing, everything. And something else I got into was, like, I used to not be big into cars and trucks and, like, stuff. I guess I was always into it a little bit, my grandpa had a 69 Dodge Charger that was a replica of the General Lee.
Oh, wow.
And it was a hoss. It was like a 454, just crazy.
Could go fast.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, whenever I moved back home, like, people love working on vehicles back home. That's something I got into for some reason. So I've dropped about $1,500 on my truck, which is just a Dodge Ram 1500 2014. So, like, it's nothing too nice, but I want it to last me a while. So I put, you know, a tuner thing in it to make it fast. It's got eco mode too. So, like, I get 20 miles a gallon on the highway in a 5.7. And I got headers on it, so it sounds nice. Good. And cold air intake, some other things. But, yeah, that was another little thing I got into.
Nice.
I got in over my head a couple times trying to put those headers on myself.
Yeah, and when it comes to cars and trucks and all that shit, it's like Chinese to me.
I know. It was for me, too.
I have no idea. Back home, I got a guy for that kind of thing. You know? Like,
yeah.
I got my buddy that can work on this or that. I never stopped to learn it myself.
That's what I fell into, too. Like, my friend, he was like, dude, I'll help you with whatever you want. And, like, obviously, I throw him 100 here and there for helping me. But I kind of got this system down with him. He's my bro. He's going to be in my wedding whenever I get married. But
that's awesome.
But I'm like, I want to get this as far as I can, like putting headers on, all that stuff. Get as far as I can, and then whenever I get stuck, I'll hit him up. That way I don't waste his time, you know.
Yeah.
That way I don't waste his time because he can go in and knock it out.
Yeah.
But there was a couple times I'd get pretty far on something, and I realized I put it on wrong or whatever, so we'd have to start all the way over.
That'd be me, dude. I'd be screwed for sure. So aside from being a 5-hour drive away, what do you miss about Nashville?
I feel like I'm still in the community. Like, you know, I still got a lot of friends here I talk to all the time. And but I miss being able to just go out on a whim one night, like if somebody's playing that I want to see. Like, that kind of stinks because I can't just drive, like, 5 hours, you know, that night and get down there and drive back. Yeah. My buddy had a birthday in Ashland City, and I was wanting to go to it. Do you know Country Rebel guys? I think it was Darren. Yeah, Darren's
the
birthday.
The Blue Brothers.
And I was invited to that, and they were having a crawfish bowl or something, but I couldn't make it because I was in Pikeville. And I was like, by the time I get there, it'll be 11 o'clock. And, yeah. So, I mean, just stuff like that, or, like, say somebody's playing I want to see, and I'm stuck in Kentucky. But
yeah, what were some of your early spots that you liked going to when you were fresh into town? Where were you hanging out at?
The OG Whiskey Jam, Losers.
Hanging out Winners and Losers.
Yeah, I still like going there.
Yeah,
there's one little place that had like $2 beers, and it's like south on Music Row.
Like $2 beers in Midtown sounds great.
Eddie's or Bobby's.
Bobby's Idle Hour, yeah.
That place is
They got a new location now, too. And they do more of that honky-tonkin' stuff that you like. That's like, they're like exclusively in that.
Like, they must get enough business to do really well because they've been there forever. But, like, it's never, like, too busy. Like,
no, you just walk just up to the right amount.
And get a drink in, like, a minute. And yeah. I love that about that place. Also, that little gas station, but it don't have gas. That market, Virginia's Market. That
Virginia's
was another
Market,
stop.
Yeah.
It's not really.
It's where I used to get my cigarette. I'd park back in the day. I'd park at the ASCAP building before they put that fence up. You get free parking there. A little cheat code back in the day. And then I'd walk down, get my pack of cigarettes, and walk my way down to Winners.
Yeah, that was
my old route.
That was the stop. They had good sandwiches.
Oh, I never got food though. I just got cigarettes.
Just cigarettes.
Just cigarettes back in the day.
Well, that I love that place. I mean, I'm sure there's a few more that I just can't think of. But Tin Roof. I've had some good nights there.
I
first moved into town on Music Row. That Tin Roof. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. What's something that you would tell, you moved here at what age? 21? 22?
20.
About 20. What's something you would tell that wide-eyed 20-year-old kid, knowing what you know now?
Take it slower. Don't be in a hurry. And try to appreciate it. Yeah, just take it slow.
Yeah. And we've got Downtown coming out. What do we got coming up kind of the rest of the year? Do we got some tour dates going on? You talked about possibly like a second half of the Downtown versus the Uptown thing.
Yeah. So once we get this project out, there's another one I've been working on. And I've also got a couple collaborations in the work
I'm
excited to,
that's cool.
to get around to getting out. And won't say no more about that, make it a surprise.
Heck yeah.
But and then I got quite a bit of music. I want to get a full length record out at some point, like
awesome
legit album. Yeah. Just like 10-12 songs.
Yeah.
And I got one that's pretty much done, and it's themed, it's got a name, and it's great. I think it might be some of my best stuff. Not that this stuff ain't great, I love this stuff, but it's kind of in the same vein, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It's an extension of Downtown vibe wise so
yeah,
I'm excited to get that out. It's gonna be good.
Yeah. Now, throwing it back to one of my favorite Tyler Booth songs, Hank Crankin' People. What is an HCP like? What does a Hank Crankin' person look like?
Somebody that works hard, might drink some beer, loves good old country music. That's about it.
That's what I think. That's awesome, man. That's one that's been in the Raise Rowdy Jukebox playlist for a long time.
That was kind of the first one that took off before Palomino did. Man, it seemed like everybody got behind me right whenever that song came out, and it got 1 million views on the video. And that's whenever I realized maybe I got a chance at this thing, and I've been with it ever since. Just stuck on the music.
That's awesome, man. Well, we're all, I think I speak for everybody that loves country music, we're stuck on your music.
Thanks.
So I appreciate you, and thank you for continuing to do what you do, man. The world needs more Tyler Booth music out there, and needs more of that kick it in the teeth cold beer country, you know, man. And we appreciate you doing that, and so excited for the world to hear this new project and everything. And everybody can find you, it's Tyler Booth Music on everything.
Yeah
Hell yeah,
man, thank you so much. This has been awesome. Hopefully we do it again.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. I'm hoping we see you out, see you when you're in town, and once you get back out on the road and everything too, man. Like, excited for that.
Yeah, I got some dates coming up. I don't think they've not all been announced, and but I got quite a few coming up. I'm excited.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude. Yeah, because I think you were at have you done Country Concert in Fort Laramie, Ohio?
Oh yeah, that's a
good.
I
was gonna say.
I think
we've been there when you've been there. I think.
Yeah.
So I think I've seen you on that saloon stage at least a time or two.
Yeah, that's been probably 2 or 3 years ago. That's fun.
Yeah. I think I was there that last time you played there.
That's great. And, that's a good place.
And yeah, man, there's just something about being in the crowd at a Tyler Booth show. So
excited for you to get
back out there and do that, dude. But hey, appreciate you coming on. Congrats on the release. Thanks for hanging out. We're gonna send you home with an 8-pack of the Surfsides. I got the iced teas. I got the green teas. We'll send you home with some of that. I got a ton of hats over there. You and the team pick out.
Get
an updated. I know you've got some.
I had to try it, but I didn't want to drink too much more because I had to drive back. But it's great. I love it.
Oh no,
I don't want you to think I didn't like. No. It tastes great. For everybody
awesome.
Out there,
responsibility.
On the,
yep. Tyler Booth, 2025.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, y'all be sure to check out Downtown, the new EP from our man Tyler Booth. It is out now. It is awesome. Go crank it up in your truck, in your car, while you're working on your truck, while you're fishing with your old lady. Go enjoy the hell out of it. And if you're not on the Tyler Booth train, now is the time to get on, because it is leaving the damn station. Check them out, Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, TikTok, all of that jazz. For more on us, visit RaiseRide.com. Shout out to our friends from Surfside, Vodka Lemonade, Vodka Iced Tea, No Bubbles, No Troubles. They are everywhere. They should be in your hand too. So for my man Tyler, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Outside the Rack.
Never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve. They usually just make